the sun comes up. She brings my coffee in my favorite cup. That's why I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love her so.
She's so just, if that doesn't just force your mouth into a smile, I don't, nothing will. That's fantastic. 638 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. She joins us every Thursday to talk about what's going on in the county and sometimes to preview the meeting for us. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks so much. I just wanted to mention the reason why I picked that song is it's obviously Black History Month, and we're going to be celebrating some of that tonight at the meeting. And then second of all, I don't know how many folks know that Ray Charles was raised in Florida, and we actually call him one of our favorite sons.
I didn't know that.
That's why I picked it.
I associate him so much with like
Georgian
sets. Interesting. Okay. I didn't know. That's fascinating. Uh-huh. See, you learned something, which is good. You're talking about the meeting. You got the agenda review this morning. You got the meeting this afternoon, evening. The one thing that I saw on the agenda that made me happy was this push to normalize the alcohol sales hours, which Commissioner Burgosh had brought up at the previous meeting. I can't stand it. I mean, you don't make the votes, but what would this do? This would basically just make everywhere in the county the same hours every day of the week, right?
Yes, uniform. Yes, I think uniformity. So Santa Rosa County currently has a very uniform standard in their community. I do think it would be helpful. As you know, as you've mentioned, we have a standard on Perdido Key, a standard on Pensacola Beach, and then on the mainland. And so I do think uniformity would be helpful not only to our citizens, but also to the businesses that provide that amenity.
Yeah, and this is you know, something that just makes sense for simplicity's sake. And it'd be one thing maybe if we had the whole county on blue laws, but to have only the mainland on blue laws and have the beaches on something else, that's just, I mean, that's absurdity, and it's going to get cleaned up. At least I would expect that it would. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, we've obviously had a bit of a herky-jerky rollout of the vaccines here. Doing the Brownsville is great, doing the Olive Baptist was great, then not participating in the statewide phone number, and then I guess we now are participating in the statewide phone number. Where are we at from the county's perspective with vaccines right now?
So Marie Mott and Eric Gilmore are going to give an update this morning to the commission. But as you know, I would say the whole country is struggling with this rollout. The federal government has announced, you know, they're going to start delivering them directly to some of the, venues like Walmart, Sam's, and maybe some other. I heard it was about 6,500 pharmacies across the country.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Now, and I do not know if the Sam's and Walmart were part of that 6,500 calculation, but, you know, just to put it in perspective, 6,500 across the country, we probably have 6,500 just in the state of Florida, number one. Number two, I believe it was the batch was 1 million doses. So, you know, it's just been a very interesting situation to watch in terms of, number one, trying to manage who all can get the vaccine. We've had a little bit of a frustration because we would love to get our frontline workers and essential workers that deal with the public all day, every day, get them vaccinated. But if they're under 65, we're not able to do that. And there are some folks that have some vulnerable health issues that do need that protection so that we can continue to provide those services. So it's been very interesting to see, because I think the governor's initial thought on the 65 was those folks have kind of been held up in their house, and then we also saw that was the majority of deaths, super majority of deaths, were people over the age of 65. So I think protecting people from death with the vaccine, and then also working to make sure that people who had been locked up in their house could start coming out, I think his tactic was very admirable. But I would just say from our practical standpoint, we really need to protect the people that are dealing with the public every single day, not only healthcare workers and first responders, but also folks in the tax collector's office, at the courts, in a lot of our offices at the county. So from my perspective, you know, it's been very interesting to watch this evolution. And I also think the main point is this: there's only so much vaccine.
Right.
So when there's only so much vaccine and you have to do two doses of it, that's also a limiting factor.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I mean, I thought the government pushing for the 65 plus made sense. It's and it is a bit of a, a help essentially to people who have been through hell for the first, you know, year of this pandemic, being, you know, basically cooped up in their long term care facilities. Not all seniors are, but the ones who are, obviously. But yet I agree with you too that it'd be nice to have the ability to get our frontline key essential workers vaccinated so that they can continue doing their jobs safely. One of the things that I wanted to, you and I talked about this last week, but last week you were in the car on the way to Tallahassee. We, along with Commissioner Bender, you went to visit the Tiny Home Project there, which is really a wide-ranging array of services for people without homes. And we talked to Commissioner Bender about this the other day, but I wanted to get your take. What did you see? What can be brought back here? And maybe also you can talk for a second about what Caleb Houston is doing over there on W Street this weekend and how that might dovetail with the county's projects.
I'm not familiar with what's going on W Street, so forgive me for that.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I would love to hear about it. But first of all, what I would say about the dwellings and the situation we saw, quite frankly, if I saw anything last week in Tallahassee, I met a man who is 100% dedicated to resolving homelessness. He's a champion for the issue. He's a philanthropist for the issue. And so he has personally dedicated 30 years of his life and a lot of his personal wealth toward this issue. They have a $7 million intake facility. They have a congregate living situation where they can kind of graduate people from a homeless shelter to the congregate living. So that's one issue aside, okay, I want to be clear, because I believe only one person has graduated from the homeless one-stop center all the way to the dwellings, which was the Tiny Home Project. So that's a separate project. The Tiny Dwellings the dwellings and the Tiny House Project is I think, an excellent answer to affordable housing for individuals and maybe even couples, not for families. Because it was, you know, they're very small. They're 200 to 400 square foot homes. But I do think it's a great opportunity to give people that, you know, that hand up. They have currently, I believe, 146 homes, and they're looking to grow to 400. Now, it's a private project. It's not a government project, and it is it was all on private property, and it's being expanded on private property. So it's a little, you know, it was an amazing project. Quite frankly, I called it utopia. If I were a person that was in need of help and I had some kind of income, whether it be VA, Social Security, disability, or I was able to work from home, it would be an amazing opportunity. So I hope that somebody here can take up the mantle and do that. They have two foundations, Second Chance Foundation and the Beatitudes, which are strongly behind it and do continue to help fund and support it. To be quite honest, I'm not sure that Pensacola has that type of champion or commitment yet. So it's something that would need to be developed to make a project like that successful.
All right. Well, that's all. I mean, that's all a fair analysis. So, you know, good to hear. Although, of course, as you say, we're going to need, you know, the funding has to come from somewhere, and there really ideally needs to be somebody to shepherd or spearhead the project. By the way, just the thing with Caleb Houston, it's just a small thing. He's doing stronger tents. He's calling them huts, but they're like $2,500 to build. And he's putting one of those together on W Street this weekend. That's the only, and you know, it's in the county, it's not in the city, and so I didn't know if you had been working with him at all, and I think he had worked with somebody, but maybe not with you directly, so that's the only that reference for you. Obviously, as you know, we had a chance to tour the new correctional facility last week. It's weird to be excited about a jail, especially because it's been so expensive to put this together, but compared to the old facility, this is worlds apart, and I'm optimistic that this will really help toward the goal of rehabilitation and reentry long term instead of just incarceration punishment.
That's our goal. I think that when folks see this facility and they understand the holistic approach that we're going to take to incarcerated individuals, I hope that it will have a good response. You know, having classrooms in their housing facility, having medical attention in their housing facility, and actually having, you know, their visitation opportunities in their the video visitation in their facility, along with recreation. It's actually bringing us into the 21st century, like I mentioned last week, and I think that's really important. I think that the way people are treated once they're incarcerated is probably part of the issue in terms of their recidivism. And so our goal is to hope and, you know, hope to find ways to provide in residential treatment and just other things that can hopefully help folks, like we said, give them a hand up and out and not come back.
Yeah, and just something as simple and obvious as the medical facility is worlds apart from the old medical facility. And, you know, obviously there's been some adverse news over the years about the jail. And, you know, hopefully that can all go away and we can have some positive news about how, you know, prisoners and inmates are handled with regards to their medical needs. Last thing that I wanted to ask you is, you know, the federal mandate for masks on transportation, like, you know, I figured this might affect ECAP, but maybe not. Has that mandate actually affected anything that we're doing in the county, or were we already in compliance, basically?
So back in December, we announced that starting in January and February, we would go to mandated mask on public transportation along with our full route. You know, we would reinstitute the full route schedule. And so, to my knowledge, there have only been one or two instances where folks have given a little bit of an issue, but we've asked our drivers to, you know, just to be very kind and ask people to, they're not allowed to ride if they don't wear a mask. You know, we've tried very hard not to have to call in to any law enforcement, but our goal is to implement that and to make sure that everyone riding our public transportation feels safe and that our drivers feel safe. And so, as of, you know, I think we've been doing this for about 2 weeks. I've not been told of any instances in which we've needed to call law enforcement.
Well, that's good news. Okay, and that's kind of what I figured, but I wanted to check with you. Last thing is you always, well, not always, but most of the time you like to ask me a question that I am not expecting. So what's your unexpected question for the week?
Oh, okay. So if you were allowed to be a benevolent dictator of Escambia County, what would be the one thing you would implement that would not be able to be changed? What would be the one thing?
Oh, I want prayer in the Bible in schools. I want to unspool Abingdon School District versus Shemp and Engel versus Vital, and I just because long term, I mean, it's long term, you know, long term, the core of character for our kids and what they believe their place in the universe is going to determine everything else, and I think until we get that one right, a lot of other things are going to stay wrong, personally. So that'd be my benevolent
nice.
Dictator move. Now you are not you are benevolent, but not the dictator. Do you have one?
Oh, I think I'll just keep mine. I'll keep mine to myself.
I understand. All right, Janice Gillies, she is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, as always, thanks for the time and thanks for the service. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day. Bye.